If you would like to make your way over to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 6, and we're going to continue our lesson through the book of 2 Samuel. I believe, as we'll see this morning, there's a lot of practical advice in this book. You know, it's in the Old Testament. Some people don't read the Old Testament. Some have neglected the Old Testament because they think we don't need it any longer. I believe that the Old Testament is vital to our understanding of the New Testament. We neglect the Old Testament. There are many teachings we find in the New Testament that the foundation is there in the Old Testament. Plus, also in the Old Testament, we find a lot of practical teachings of men and women as they lived and tried to serve the Lord or serve the Lord and were faithful unto God. Now, this morning, 2 Samuel chapter 6, the title of our lesson is The Ark Brought to Zion, and we're going to begin in verse 1. It says, "And again David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart, brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. They brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir, fir wood, even on harps, and on psalteries, and on timbrels, and on cornets, and on cymbals." We're going to stop there this morning, and we're going to get into our lesson. I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to kind of change gears, and I'll explain to you why, and ask you to keep me in prayers as we change gears. It's not going to be a big change, but what we do right now, we currently provide the notes as far as we provide a detailed Bible study online of this entire chapter. There's not enough time to go through an entire chapter, and you probably recognize sometimes I try to rush through at the end and have to leave some things out. So what I've decided to start doing this morning, and if you want the Bible notes, you can get them online. We will make them available in a PDF format. If you want them on a disc, we can get them for you as well. The lessons will still correspond to the Bible notes, but what I've prayed over, and I think I'm going to start doing this morning, and we'll see how it works, is I'm just going to give you four facts that we find in this chapter, and then talk about those facts. And we'll go through it. We'll take it in chronological order still. I'm not going to take anything out of order, so we'll still see the order of the chapter. But we're going to focus on four facts. I believe four facts. I should be able to get enough information in those four facts and still be able to finish on time instead of going too far into the next hour. So four facts, and we'll, like I said, we'll still go through the chapter as we look at these facts, but those will be our focus as we go through them. The first fact this morning that I want to draw your attention to is the fact that David had great respect for the things of the Lord. Great respect for the things of the Lord. This chapter tells us that David had a desire to bring the Ark of the Lord to Zion, or to Jerusalem, to that area where he was residing. He wanted to bring the Ark of the Lord there because I believe he understood the importance of the Ark and recognized the importance. Now, real quick for us, I want to explain the importance of the Ark because we haven't been studying that recently. First, the Ark symbolized the presence of God with his people. That's what it symbolized. We find that in Exodus. If you're taking notes this morning, Exodus chapter 25, verses 16 through 22 tells us that the Ark symbolized that God was with them. You know, that's why the Israelites, when they fought the Philistines, they wanted to take that ark with them into battle because they recognized that that was, I guess they symbolized the presence of the Lord. But you know, like a lot of things, the Israelites turned it into more of a, I guess you'd say, a relic than anything else. What I mean by that is the ark symbolized the presence of the Lord, and they began to treat it as something that they could just take around and take anywhere they wanted to take, and things would work out great because, hey, this ark was here. They forgot that the Lord was the one who provided the power. The ark was just the symbol that he was with them. And so in 1 Samuel, we find they did that, and the Philistines conquered them and took the ark. 1 Samuel tells us that they took the ark, and they struggled with the ark. The Philistines took it from city to city, and they had all kinds of problems. They didn't want it anymore, so they sent it back to Israel. And there it was stuck in the city of Kirjath-Jearim, and that's where we find the ark. The ark was neglected pretty much during the reign of King Saul. David's different. David had a desire for the things of God, whereas Saul, I believe, was more interested in, I don't know if you say, exalting himself building his dynasty and building his home. The Bible tells us that Saul had no interest in the ark of the Lord. As a matter of fact, when you read through his life there in 1 Samuel, he mentioned it one time. And then, instead of listening or seeking the Lord's advice, he hastily went into battle and basically struggled. You see, Saul didn't have any regard for the things of God, whereas David did. David had great respect for the Lord, so he wanted this ark brought to Jerusalem. Now, I don't believe he saw it as some kind of superstitious, furniture. He recognized that if he brought this here, that God would bless him and that God would once again bless the nation. I guess you could say this shows David's respect for the Lord himself. David's respect for the Lord. Today, I think that's something missing. I think it's missing in our society in general. There's not a lot of respect for God. There's definitely not a lot of reverence for God. You know, it's sad. For the most part, I hear people speak of the Lord, and it's usually taking his name in vain is what it usually is. And that's sad. That's sad. Now, I'm not saying that's everybody, but that's our society. That's the direction many have chosen to go. Also, some churches even disrespect God. I think some churches have a lack of respect for the Lord by the way they act and treat him and the way they talk about him. You know what? We should reverence God. I mean, he's God Almighty. We should, when we think of him, it should cause us to respect and have fear. David here, I think, had a great respect for the Lord and loved the things of God. Now, this is my challenge here. How about we love the things of God? Here's the first thing of the Lord we should love right here is his word. He's given us his word. Praise the Lord, we have his word. He's given us direction. He's given us guidance. So we can read, we can understand, and we can know not only how we can approach him for salvation, but how we can live for him afterwards, how it's possible to live for the Lord. So the Lord has given us his word, and we should love it. We really should. I think if we're not careful, we can take it for granted simply because we have it. What I mean by that is, I imagine most of you have maybe 1, 2, 3 copies of the Bible. Some of you have it on your phone. You can get on your computer, and you can find the Bible. Now, there's nothing wrong with those, Dad. But if we're not careful, we can just take what we have for granted because it's just there. You know, I think those nations that don't have the word or they don't have, access to the word like we do, they probably appreciate it when they receive tracts and booklets talking about God. And here we have it. So let's just be thankful for God's word, not take it for granted, read it and study it. David obviously was interested in the things of God. And it tells us there that he gathered together 30,000 men. He chose them to go after this ark. And they arose and they went to gather the ark. Now we're going to talk a little bit about this later, but he didn't do this just off the top of his head. He prepared for this. He had already had a place ready in Jerusalem that he was going to place the ark. And he a lot of work went into this. It wasn't just something that, I think I'm going to wake up and go do this morning. David prepared for this because he was interested in the things of the Lord. Here's my second fact I'll give to you this morning. David neglected the Lord's direction. He had a great desire, but he made a mistake. He neglected the Lord's direction from Scripture. And that takes us, we're going to begin reading in verse 3 says, "And they set the ark of God upon a new cart, brought out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart." We find that David goes down to fetch the ark, bring it back, because he had a desire for the things of God. Now, there's nothing wrong with his desire. I believe that's commendable. And we should have the same desire for the things of the Lord. But David, the Bible tells us, put the ark upon a new cart. I imagine it was a brand new cart. Knowing David and the way he did things, I imagine it was brand new. Probably maybe especially prepared for this occasion. And they put this ark on a new cart that was driven by oxen. And they began to move the ark to Jerusalem. Now here's the problem here. It was a new man-made method. And we're going to turn to some scriptures here in a minute to show you the importance of this. This was David's new method of moving the ark. Now, when you first read it, it appears to be all right. I mean, if you think about it, it would be quicker than carrying it by hand. It was the new way. Also, you think about this. The Philistines moved it around on a cart, had no problem with it. Brought it back, gave it to Israel. So it had already been tested. I mean, someone else had already done it and found it to be successful. Not only that, but I guess you could make the argument that if you search the scriptures, you could find nothing that prohibited doing that. You know, some people do that today. They live in sin and they say, well, I can't find that exact sin mentioned in the Bible, so they'll continue on. David, he could probably search the scripture and say, well, you know, God didn't tell us we couldn't use a cart. So they took that cart and they put it on there. You know, what it was a violation of God's law. Keep in mind, the ark was not just some common object for them just to pick up and move around as they felt. It was from the Lord, and it symbolized the presence of the Lord with them. Now, the cart itself didn't matter. It didn't matter if it was an old cart. Didn't matter if it was a new cart. Didn't matter if they painted it with all kinds of neat symbols or if it was run down. The cart itself didn't matter. The problem was they placed it upon that cart instead of carrying it the way the Lord had directed them to carry it. Yes, the Philistines did that, but keep in mind, the Philistines did not belong to God. They didn't. They had no direction on how to deal with the ark. You see, they didn't belong to God. They did what they thought was right. God obviously didn't punish them for that. Of course, he made life difficult because they had the ark, but he didn't punish them for that. And some will say, well, they did it, it's okay. You know what? God, if we belong to God, we have God's word. God's going to hold us to a high standard, I believe, according to his word. Not according to our standards, but according to what the Bible has to say. And so David basically chose to, I guess, say, go against what God's word had to say. A.W. Pink was an old Baptist commentator. He wrote this. He said, David's desire was holy, his motive was pure, but he went about things in a wrong way, and dire were the consequences. You know, we can have good motives and even have a good intention, but if we go contrary to God's word, then we can find ourselves in trouble. That's what happened to David. Now, I'm going to read a few passages. Numbers chapter 7. If you're taking notes, you can write these down. I'm going to turn to these quickly because of time's sake. But Numbers 7, verse 9 is the first one. It says there, but unto the sons of Kohath he gave none, because the service of the sanctuary belonging unto them was that they should bear upon their shoulders. Now, he's talking about the ark. See, they didn't have other service within the tabernacle. Their service was to carry the ark. That's the sons of the Kohathites is what that was. So the ark was to be carried by the priests. In particularly, this family, the Kohathites, were to carry the ark. They were responsible for moving the ark. We find in Numbers chapter 10, if you want to turn over to Numbers chapter 10, in verse 21 it says, and the Kohathites set forward, bearing the sanctuary, and the other did set up the tabernacle against they came. So we find it in, not only we find the direction given in Numbers 7, but in Numbers 10 we see it in practice. See, God had given direction to Moses, and then we find the Israelites and Moses put that into practice. And the Kohathites here carried it around. And you'll find other scriptures where that took place. Basically, what we have in the Bible is the priests were the only ones allowed to be near the ark, and then the Kohathites were the ones who were to bear the ark. According to Exodus chapter 25, as far as the building of the ark, the ark had rings in it where they could put staves or long sticks, and these men would carry it on their shoulders is what they would do. They would, take one and they'd all get around it and they'd carry it on their shoulders. Now, they wouldn't touch the ark. They'd touch the staves. They'd touch that stick is what they would touch, and then they'd carry that ark. Wherever the nation would go, they would carry it and they'd walk with it. That was the direction that the Lord gave. Now, when you think about it, as far as humanly speaking, it might appear that David had a better idea. Today we may say, hey, just take a truck down there and pick it up. But this was God's plan. God had a purpose in his plan. See, the ark was to be taken with some respect and reverence. Now, my thought on this, here's some practical thoughts. The Bible doesn't go into this, so I want to make it clear this is my opinion on this part. I think carrying it made it more personal. That's just my opinion. I think when they had to actually get down there, the priests and the people watching too. Think about this. Everyone watching them getting ready to go. It was personal. I mean, there was some work involved and they had to get that and they had to carry it. It made it a real object. You know, when you throw it on a cart and have an animal carry it, you can just put it up there and you forget about it and you can go. Nobody's tired. Nobody's worn out. Everyone's walking along. That made it something that they had to consider and they had to look at it and go. So I think it made it more personal. That's just my opinion on the situation of why, or one reason why it was important to carry it. Now, David had good intentions. I won't doubt his intentions. I heard one man say it's never good to doubt anybody's intentions. That's between them and God. So I don't doubt his intentions. They appear to be good. His motive was good. He wanted to bring the ark back to Zion, or bring it to Zion. But I guess you could say he either, I don't know if it was out of haste, Or just he neglected to either read the scriptures or just follow him, whatever it was. You know, it could have been either or. How many of you ever neglected to do something that you knew was correct? You just didn't do it. Just neglect. Sometimes we get busy and we want to hurry up and do something and we miss something or we don't do something correctly. That's what happened, I think. One of those happened with David. Anyway, here's my warning on this before we move on. Let's be careful of man-made methods. Let's be careful of man-made methods. Now, I'm not against technology. Praise the Lord for air conditioning. I'm thankful for air conditioning this morning. I don't think there's anything wrong with air conditioning. It doesn't contradict anything in the scriptures. Having a building doesn't contradict scriptures. And so forth. You know, there's a lot of things that we can do. I believe that we have liberties and freedoms to do. But you know, when God gives specific direction on how to do things, that's what we need to obey, and that's what we need to follow. I'll give you a few examples. How about churches? Now, this is where I think, as a whole, we need to be aware of. You know, today there's a lot of man-made methods being used to fill a church. You know, some say, well, you know, it draws a crowd. Yeah, but every Sunday in fall, the Dallas Cowboys draw a crowd. You see what I'm saying? You can draw a crowd, but there's a difference between doing God's work and drawing a crowd. You know, there's a lot of, and we don't have time to go through this. We've studied the book of Acts in the past. We'll probably do it again in the future. But throughout the book of Acts, we're given a blueprint of the church, of how we're to go about the work of the church. The, you know, not only the work that's here, but also the direction on how to build a church and how God will work through us to build his church. I think today many churches have turned to worldly methods to build churches. And just be careful of that. You know, as a pastor, I guess that's part of my responsibility is not to turn to what appeals to the flesh. Instead, follow the direction that God has. And so that's just some thoughts there. We just need to make sure we follow God's plan. Obviously, how about the plan of salvation? You know, there's a plan of salvation in the Bible. And that plan wasn't put there so we can look and say, well, I think it's a good idea, but how about I try this idea? It's put there so we could follow it. But sadly, many today are saying, well, that's just one way. You find your way. I don't believe that. I personally believe that's a devil's lie. I believe that God sent his son to die on the cross for sin, that it was necessary. It was required. That's why he did it. And so we need to come through Jesus Christ to get to God the Father. See, that's God's plan. Anything outside of that plan is really corruption. I mean, it's adding to it or taking away from it. And so we just need to make sure that we follow God's plan. David did make a mistake. To his credit, before I move on, to his credit, he got some things right. Now, I want to read you something here, or point something out to you I think was interesting. At least I found it interesting. It says, we find in verse 6, it says, when they came to Nashon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God, took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. By the way, threshing floors, what it was there to beat the wheat. And most of those threshing floors were used by many. You know, usually many cities had one or two large threshing floors. And those threshing floors, many of them had stones embedded in them. They had ruts from the wagons. It was a rough terrain. So you have these oxen arriving here, pulling this cart. Now they're on rough terrain, and we find out what happened. I mean, they struggled, and anyway, it looked like it was going to fall or have an accident. And Uzzah, I believe he reacted. Here he is behind the ark, and the Bible says he touched it. It tells us there, he took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And that's found there at the end of verse 6. I believe he probably reacted. How many of you were moving something? And it begins to fall, and you hurry up, your reaction is just to catch it, to steady it, to balance it. I could be wrong, but that's what appears, that he grabbed it to steady it, to keep it from shaking. And then in verse 7, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah. God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. Now notice, this is the result of David's mistake, is what it is. Uzzah, of course, he made his mistake. He shouldn't have touched it. He should have known better. But the result of David's haste and neglect was tragedy within the camp. Now, this morning, I'm not going to tell you that you make a mistake in serving the Lord, it's going to end up like this. You know, that's not what this is teaching us. But you know, there will be results to our actions. And if we neglect the scriptures and we neglect to follow God's pattern, then there will be some results. And some of them may be tragic. Some of them may just be thorns in our flesh to create problems. But here it was a tragic accident. And it says there in verse 8, and David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord, he says, come to me? You know, what I want to point out to you this morning, it says in verse 8, and David was displeased. You know, the Greek word is the same word that's used in verse 7 for God's anger. So he was displeased. He was angry is what he was. He was angry. And basically, and I don't have time to go into this too much, but you know what? He was angry. From all indications, he was angry at the Lord for what had taken place, for what had happened. And so he quit. He wasn't going to go forward anymore. He was angry. He became afraid, and he was going to stop. You know, what we have here is, and this is interesting to me, is we have the Lord angry, and we have David angry. You ever think about that? The Lord angry and David angry. The Lord was angry for a righteous reason. David is angry. Well, he should have been angry at himself for acting in haste, or maybe even upset at Uzzah for not paying attention and putting his hat on it. But if he was angry at the Lord, as many believe he was, then that's his problem. Notice the Lord didn't give in to him. David went, as we see in this passage, you know what he did? He quit. He got upset. Now, the Lord didn't stop him. That's what I think is interesting. The Lord didn't stop David. The Lord didn't prevent him. The Lord didn't say, don't move it. David stopped. David got angry. He got afraid. He took the ark and he put it in the house of, the Bible tells us, of Obed-Edom. And then David went back to Jerusalem. I could just see this king. Now, he's a mighty man. He's a little bit upset. He probably got some, I imagine his pride was wounded that day a little bit. Upset, angry, and he even comments. He goes, you know, does the Lord not going to bless me? He can't bring it back to Jerusalem. How many of you have been angry? Now, you may not have been angry at the Lord, but how many of you have been angry? You know, we tell our children, don't pout, but you know, sometimes as adults we do that. We get so angry and mad, we don't talk to somebody. We stew for a while. And that's what I believe we find with David. He was displeased, he was angry, and he was afraid. I imagine the fear came after he cooled down a little bit. How many of you have been angry? After a few minutes, you cool down and you begin to think of, you know, consider the situation. I imagine that's what happened to David. He was angry, and he cooled down a little bit. And then fear kind of set in. Okay, he was afraid now. Now, there's nothing wrong with fear, especially when it comes with fear with God. That brings out respect and reverence when we fear the Lord. We find that mentioned through Proverbs and even Psalms. But David went home angry, and eventually we're going to find that David returned to do things correctly. Now, that's to his credit. We don't have a whole lot of time to get into that. We'll talk a little bit about the actions, but I do want to make this mention that David eventually got things right. You know, this morning we're going to make mistakes. We're going to stumble. We're going to say some things we regret. We may do some things that we look back on and say, I shouldn't have done that. But let's not persist in sin or persist to be stubborn. Let's seek God's forgiveness and get things right. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, if you make a mistake, if you stumble into sin, seek God's forgiveness, repent of that sin and get things right, and then you can fellowship with God again the way that God would want you to fellowship. So don't just persist in sin. I do believe David got things right. Notice he got them right. It says there in verse 12, and it was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom, all that pertaineth unto him, because the ark of God. So David went, brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom, he says, into the city of David with gladness. So he did get things correct, and he went to retrieve that ark. Now this is my third fact I'll give to you. We're going to talk. I want you to notice that David rejoiced when he did things correctly. He goes back now. Now if you're taking notes, or if you're going to, I encourage you to read the First Chronicles chapter 15. We don't have time in our lesson this morning to go back and forth, but in First Chronicles 15 you see that account of what took place as far as David and everything that he did to get things correct. Anyway, what we find is that David returned, but this time things were a little bit different. That cart wasn't there anymore. I can see him just either burying it, burning it, getting rid of it. He wasn't going to bring that cart back. That was problems there. So he returned this time with a different attitude and with different procedures. Now there are two things that he did differently that I want to draw to your attention. First, he brought the proper people to carry the ark, and that was the Levites. We find in there, it says there, and it was, well, we don't find it here in this passage, but you'll find it over in the 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Actually, let me turn there, or Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 15. I will turn there for this real quick just to point out to you. But he did bring the correct people. It says there in verse 2, then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites, for them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. Whether it was David, I believe it was David, maybe some of his counselors. Now, that was 1 Chronicles 15:2 for those taking notes. Somebody searched the scriptures, and they found that the Levites were to carry this ark. See, David, after this mistake took place, after things did not work out correctly, David, yes, probably sat there for a few months, upset. But evidently, in that time, he went to the Bible. I could just see King David. Now, if King David is like how I think he was, I imagine this just bothered him while he was. How many of you ever had something that just bothered you? You had to figure out the right answer or figure out what was going on. I imagine this probably bothered David because he was never reprimanded for going after the ark. And the Lord never punished him. And I imagine as he's sitting in his house or there in the palace that he's thinking, something went wrong. Something didn't happen. We messed up somewhere. And so someone, either him or maybe, like I said, maybe Nathan. Nathan that was at the palace a lot. Maybe one of his other counselors searched the scriptures, obviously. And they found that the Levites were to carry the ark. You see, they found the proper people to do the work. You see, God is like that. God has, when God has plans and procedures, we're to follow those plans and procedures. That was God's plan for moving the ark, was the proper people. And that was the Levites. Secondly, how about the proper procedure? What I mean by that is they were to take the ark, not just touch it, but they were to grab it, move it, and carry it, and walk with it. Yes, it took a little bit longer. Yes, the work was harder, but that was God's plan. That was God's intention. And the Bible tells us in Samuel, we come back here, that they, verse 13, and it was so that when they bear the ark of the Lord had gone six paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. I don't know if he didn't sacrifice the first time. It's not mentioned. I'm not going to say he didn't for sure, because he may have, they just didn't tell us. But here it is mentioned, he sacrificed. He made a sacrifice to God after they went six paces. You know, he was doing things correctly this time, making sure that things were done right. And the Bible says there in verse 14, and David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So David, there, after they made these sacrifices, has danced before the Lord with all his might. Now this word dance, for Baptists, we read this, we're in trouble. We say, oh man, David danced. No, that word refers to leaping or whirling. Have you ever heard someone say they danced for joy, or they jumped for joy, or leapt for joy? That's what he was doing. He was excited. He was thrilled. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with getting excited. We shouldn't, I guess you say, suppress our excitement. There's nothing wrong with being excited and singing unto God and being joyful when God blesses us. David here was extremely excited. Now, some of you are more emotional than others. There's nothing wrong with being excited when God blesses. And that's what David was. He was excited. And the Bible tells us he continued to carry the ark, or they took the ark into the city while rejoicing. You know, David was grateful. The ark arrived back there. And even as he went in, the Bible tells us that he danced and leapt around for joy, and that the Lord blessed him. Now, here's my fourth fact. I was hoping this would speed me along, but maybe I have to just go to three next time. I'll see. We'll try this for a few weeks. Here's my fourth fact, and this is verses 20 through 23. You find this. David remained humble. David remained humble. You know, when you read the passage, you'll find that his wife, Michal, watched from the window as the ark was taken in and as the people celebrated and the festivities took place, and she was disgusted with David's behavior. She thought David had done something wrong. The Bible says she despised him in her heart, because of the way that he acted. Well, anyway, we find him arriving home. And verse 20 says, and David returned to bless his household. Now, the ark has returned. David has organized worship there, at least part worship. The other part was still in the tabernacle, was still in Gibeon, so there was still some worship there and the sacrifices. But verse 20 says, then David returned to bless his household. Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself. Notice the exclamation point there. She probably said this with a lot more force than I read it this morning as she walked out to confront David. First, notice that she did this in public. You know, husbands and wife, if you have a problem with each other or within the family, keep it there. Deal with them in private and take care of it before the Lord. She ran out and met him in public. Who knows who was watching it? If other people were there witnessing this, but she didn't care. She went out and met him and took care of this. And by the way, I have to throw this in. With our modern day, you know, I guess, say, Facebook and Twitter and all those things, you know, there are some things you need to keep private. You don't need to put everything online for everyone else to read. Keep that within your home. Now, some of you may not even be on that, but that, for those that are, I'm not saying you do that, but it's good to keep private things private and deal with him with the Lord. Anyway, she went out there and she was all upset at David and she was mad. And first, notice she basically, I guess she accused him of his action or of his behavior. It says there, we've already read it there, that she said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids." When you think about this, she mocked David is what she did. How glorious is the king? You know, David didn't strip down to nothing. We need to understand that. He wasn't naked. He wasn't nude. What it was is he took off his kingly attire is what he did. Perhaps his robes and his crown. Set those aside. You know what? He looked just like everybody else is what he did. Now, keep in mind, David was a humble man. She didn't like this. She watched this from the window and saw David mingling and rejoicing with everybody else as if he wasn't the king, just praising God. And she disliked this, and so she mocked him, basically. I think she's implying that his actions were unbecoming of a king, that he shouldn't have been acting that way. Secondly, she scolded David, implying that his actions were incorrect, is what she did. She scolded him that he was incorrect to act in this manner by uncovering himself. And she says there, in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows, shamelessly uncovereth himself. One of the vain fellows, that's referring to someone without consideration, someone who just doesn't care, someone who just doesn't think of anything else and just lives for the moment. So she implied he was incorrect, that almost to the point of being immoral. Now, this was the accusation, I believe, of a proud woman. I'll talk about this. We see she was reprimanded for this a little bit. But Michal believed David and obviously his family were above the rest of Israel. And we're going to see that David, real quick, we don't have time to get into this, but I'm going to read this to you. Notice his answer, verse 21. David said unto Michal, "It was before the Lord, which chose me before thy father and before all his house, to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel." He says, "Therefore will I play before the Lord." Basically, what David did in answering her accusation, he reminded her, I think, of his situation. The Lord had chosen him to be king. The Lord had taken him out of the field as a shepherd and placed him upon that throne. You know, David, when it comes down to it, was a humble man. You know, there are a lot of mistakes David made in life. You know, when we read through this, we'll see more mistakes. One of them, I don't think, was pride. I mean, yeah, occasionally he had a little bit of pride. David was a very humble man. He remembered where he came from, never forgot that. I don't think he had a problem out there with the rest of the people. I don't think he had a problem fellowshipping with the others, to the point where I don't think he thought it was a problem at all because he was doing it before the Lord. You know, this morning, pastors have to be careful of this. Any type of spiritual leaders need to be careful of lifting themselves or elevating themselves above the people, because you don't find that in the scriptures. Now, pastors do have a position, and that position needs to be respected, I believe, and pastors have an office and a work to do. But pastors need to remember that they're sinners saved by grace, that God has put them and given them the abilities to do that work. But that work is because God has placed them there and given them those abilities, and God has called them, just as David said here, that God had put him on the throne. And basically, you know what David's telling Michal, I think, from reading this passage? He's saying, "I'm going to continue to act this way because I'm doing it before the Lord." You know, this morning, here's my thought to you as we finish this. If we are correct before God, it matters not what anyone else thinks. If you are living correctly before God, it matters not what anyone else thinks, because you're doing things before God correctly according to His Word. And that's where David found himself. He lived correctly before God, and it didn't matter what others thought about him. He was going to continue. So this morning, if someone's questioning your life, or maybe you're wondering, if you're living correctly before God, continue to be faithful. Continue to look to God. Continue to serve Him and love Him. Now, real quick in closing, notice her future was dimmed. Basically, we find at the end there, it says in verse 23, "Therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death." So Michal would not have a child. You know, some have made it clear in their commentaries that Michal would not have a son to claim the throne, basically. Saul's dynasty ended in this case. It was gone, and the Lord took care of it. You know, in closing, we have four facts concerning David. I hope and pray as you think about those and you look through this passage that those will remind you. You know, we think about David. He was a man like any one of us as far as his passions and his decisions that he had to make. He brought the ark back to Zion. God blessed him. The nation was blessed. As far as the conclusion of this chapter, think of it this way. He defeated the Philistines twice when they tried to come in and take the city. We saw that in the last chapter. Philistines now have returned home, or basically are gone. He has now brought the ark to Jerusalem. You see, he's beginning, by the direction of the Lord, beginning to establish a central place of worship for the nation. You know, David was the man that God wanted for, at this moment, to bring the nation together. And as we'll see over the next few weeks, God would extremely bless Israel. I mean, their borders were going to be extended. They're going to be enlarged. They're going to be, wealth come in. You see, when we follow God and do things correctly, God will bless. And God will provide for what we need. So we're going to close with a word of prayer. Next week, we'll look at that next chapter. 2 Samuel chapter 7 is what we're going to be looking at. And we'll see David's desire, I think, we're going to see him desiring to do more for God, to do more for the Lord. Let's close in a word of prayer this morning. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings you provided. I pray that you'll bless us through the rest of our service this morning. Please bless our children in Vacation Bible School, not only this morning, but over the next few days. I pray that you'll encourage their hearts and that they'll learn more about you from your word. Also bless our morning service to come. I pray that you'll encourage us today, provide the spiritual need that each one of us may have.